Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of the Game Changers podcast. My name is Quinn Sessions, and it's a privilege and pleasure to be here with you, as usual. My guest today is our first ever repeat guest. His name is Osborne Small, and you would have known him from a previous episode. Today, Osborne will be speaking about his personal business that changes regular business people into game changers. Here is our interesting interview. Hello, Osborne.
Hi, Quinn. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm great, man. It's so good to have you back. You know, this is the second episode that I'm interviewing you with. The first one did very well. We got some very amazing reviews from it. And it's very good to have you here again.
Quinn, let me just ask you one question quickly. Am I the first person to come back on the show?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you are the first person.
First repeat. That means I beat everybody else. Is that good?
Absolutely. I'm happy to have you on. Was a great interview the first time, but this time you're going to be speaking about something a little bit different. You know, something in the same lines,
correct,
but something a bit different. And I'm so happy to have you on to have this conversation. Anyhow, let's get into introductions. So for those of you who did not see the first episode, I still want Osborne to tell you a little bit about himself, tell you what he does for a living. So go ahead, Osborne. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, so as you might know, my name is Osborne Small. You may not know that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. You may not know that I'm a businessman. Most people know me for what I do with Sagico as an advisor, but I'm also a consultant. I have my own firm. It's Big Brother Consultancy Services, and it's just something that I'm very passionate about. I love helping people achieve their goals, meet their expectations, and just achieve success for themselves, whatever that success may come across as.
Right. Beautiful. So you said that you're into consultancy. Now, let's start off with some definitions first. You know, maybe somebody might be listening to you and say,
I hope you're not going to ask me for definitions right now.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, it can be in your own words, you know, can be in your own words, you know, completely, because I mean, you are a consultant, so surely you know what consultant
is. I should be able to give some kind of guidance.
Exactly. So, I mean, in your own words, with your own definitions, tell us what consultancy is.
Okay, from my perspective, consultancy is similar to counseling. It's helping an individual or an organization, whatever organization it may be or type it may be, whether that be a NGO, non-governmental organization, whether it be a government itself, whether it be a small business, corporation, partnership, a non-profit, whatever organization that is, consultancy is helping that organization achieve a specific goal based on an agreed-to contract.
Okay. Perfect. So very simple. So you help somebody get something done. Straightforward.
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Pretty much.
I like that. So you help some... And now that consultancy could be different things, right? It could be business consultancy. It could be different types of consultancy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Beautiful.
You could have government contracts. You could have all different types of contracts.
Definitely. But I know that you, in particular, focus on business consultancy, right?
Yes, strategic consultancy.
Okay. Let's start off by finding out why. Why did you decide to get into consultancy? I like to ask my guests this question, and you would know that, because I believe that it's important to start with why. In fact, one of my favorite books that I've read is the title of it is Start With Why. And when you discover why, when you answer that question, it really informs everything around your perspective or your life or your goals, right? So tell me, really, why did you consider consultancy?
I like that we're reading the same book, Squid. Start With Why. It's a really great book. That's a nice one.
Very much so.
I love to coach people, counsel people, and help people in terms of what they're trying to achieve. And also... Okay. I am extremely passionate about business concepts, right? But really and truly, if we had to look back as to how I got into consulting itself, And mind you, I was doing consulting before I started with Sagicor as an advisor.
Right.
I was studying business because I was passionate about business. But really and truly, first off in my head, what I wanted to start was a ferry business in the OECS. But by the time I finished my
degree,
I was already existing, so I couldn't do that one. So then I thought about, okay, what about a recycling business? But when I did the analysis to evaluate how plausible it was, it would be very expensive to start up here in St. Lucia. So that didn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually got desperate because I wanted to leave my job. So I was thinking of starting up a car wash. And then my mother watched me like, Osman, you don't even like washing your own car. You're going to start a car wash. So I was perplexed, but I didn't know what I was going to do. I sat down and my mom said, okay, pray about it, as it always comes down to prayer. And in praying about it, the idea of doing consultancy came to mind. Now, interestingly enough, I didn't realize that I was too passionate about helping people and coaching people until I started doing this. And then I got the offer with Sagicor and everything like that. Apparently, I've been doing it for a while because people tell me I like to talk a lot. Yeah, but I didn't realize at the time until now that consulting is really definitely something important to me. It's some place where I can talk without feeling bad for talking. It's a place where I can talk and actually see some kind of result coming out that will impact people's lives. You know, a lot of people listen to your opinion, but they never really take an action. But when you pay for an opinion, you're more willing to take an action.
Right.
And then we get to see now how the results of that communication can make something different happen. So that's how I got into consulting.
Beautiful. Now I'm seeing that it connects your natural abilities with something that is professional. I always, you know, when I listen to people, any successful person that I know utilizes their natural abilities and ties it with their professional skills. Because everybody has a gift. I always say that.
Definitely.
Everybody has things that are naturally given to them, God-given, right?
Yeah.
Things that they are blessed with. And I'm seeing that, you know, I mean, if you're naturally good at talking, not everybody is naturally good at talking. But if you're naturally good at talking, then utilize talking.
True.
Right? If you're naturally good at helping people, like you said you are, and you have a natural passion for it, then help people. And I see that, you know, that really marries very, very well with what you just said. So I really like that. And I see, you know, why somebody like you or somebody with a similar model, which we'll get into the details of which a little bit later, could be successful in that field because it's naturally good. It's naturally easy for you, I should say.
Very much correct.
I like that. Now, I like to go a little bit back. I know I like to, maybe that's in my, because of my journalist background, I like to find out, you know, the source of everything. And my question then to you is, during your childhood, growing up with your house, I know you come from a multicultural family. Was there anything that informed you becoming a consultant in your childhood? Can you think of anything maybe?
Originally, when I heard the question, I was going to say no, nothing. But something that did come to mind is an experience I had when I was just coming out of secondary school, where I did, I participated in a contract with the government through my dad. I was really just helping my dad out. He was the one really doing all the work and everything. But, it was in relation to something to do with agriculture, and I assisted in that contract, and that was the first time I ever got paid for doing work. He gave me a nice payment there for that work that I did, and it opened my eyes to the possibility of doing contracts, government contracts, and consulting and things like that. You know, I didn't even remember that I participated in that until now. So that could be something that contributed to where I am right now. But in all honesty and truth, I didn't think that I would really go down this path. I didn't know it was an option per se until later in life.
Understood. Very interesting. So we see that, you know, your father almost introduced you to, you know, contract work and consultancy. I don't think he thought that's what he was doing at the time. You know, he was probably just checking for his son.
True.
But he kind of got you into this work, you know. And I always see that happening a lot. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, we do things in our childhood, or we do things when we were younger, and it's only when we become adults or older individuals that we realize, you know, hey, this contributed to me becoming who I am today.
Definitely.
And I like asking that question because it forces people to reminisce. It forces people to think back, you know, at their journey. And it really gives a broader perspective of how you became who you are. And I like that a lot.
True.
All right. Now, I know all consultancy businesses don't necessarily have the very same business model. So I want to ask you that question then. Take me into your business model, your personal business model. Who do you help and how do you help them as well?
Okay, so in terms of who I help, my target market would be Saint Lucian businesses, small businesses,
mm-hmm.
and investors, small-time investors.
Okay.
What I do is I try to help them grow their businesses, either grow their businesses or grow their investments through guiding them in terms of strategy, guiding them and connecting them to people who might be able to assist them with whatever they're trying to achieve, creating plans and just really coaching them and working closely with them to help them achieve their goals. In terms of the business model that I use, what I've noticed from actually doing it originally, what was in the forefront of my mind was the individual student. So I provide general consultation. So assuming that you want to come in and sit down with a professional and speak to them about where your business is right now and what are some quick ways that you can better your business. Or if you have any questions related to how you can get your business in a better position, or if you have a challenge that you're currently facing or an opportunity that has come up and you want to find the best way to take advantage of it, that's where the general consultation would come in. It's the cheapest service that I provide. And then I also provide strategic consultation sessions where we look at the long-term, mid to long-term. So we're looking at 5-year, 10-year plans. And I also do financial planning sessions where we look at the structure of your business finance, or if it's an investor, the current structure of their investments and how they might be able to minimize risk and maximize return. Maybe opportunities that might be available to them, or places in terms of businesses, places where their business might not be making the best use of their resources, right? That's where I originally thought of the foundation of my business. But having dealt with a few clients, I realized that the packages that I offer are what really helps clients, because it gives a lot more value over a longer period of time with a goal in mind.
Right.
So it makes it a lot more easy to actually see some kind of a result coming out of our activity. And then what happens after that is once you've completed a package, you either decide whether you want to continue the next package to bring it to the next level, or if you just want to continue running your business as is and maybe reach out to me every now and then for a general consultation or something of that
sort. Right.
So that's become more of my bread and butter. The packages that I'm able to provide, and the packages themselves contain several services, including the ones that I've already described, but also services related to the construction of your business plan, the development of your accounting system, the development of your record keeping system. All of these things are extremely important things for your business to have, for them to run effectively and truly grow. Because we all have the goal of our business getting to the point where we don't have to be there for it to continue to grow. Originally, people thought, yeah, I just want my business to be able to run without me. But recently, what I've noticed from reading is that it's not just about your business being able to function without you, but also your business being able to grow without you. Mm-hmm. And for your business mm-hmm. to grow without you, you have to put systems in place. You have to employ the right people. You need to put the right training and everything like that in place. And you cannot do any of that without building a foundational business plan, record keeping system. Basically, you need these basic building blocks before you can have a company that can mm-hmm. function on its own. And that's the bread and butter.
Got you. And that makes a lot of sense, man. I like something you said in particular about, you know, people often want their business to run without them, but they don't really think about that growing without them type of thing. And I think it was the same start with why I was listening to, because I listened to it via the audiobook. And I remember Simon Sinek saying, comparing, you know, certain companies like Walmart and Apple, as soon as the founder or the CEO left the company, we saw, you know, a declension, I guess. You know, things started going down. Yes, things started going down right away because they couldn't think of new ways to adapt and to grow because, you know, a business really adopts the personality of its founder and its CEO in a lot of the cases. So it's important, I think, like you said, to find ways to have the business grow without you, right? And also inspire people to share your ideals in that regard.
True.
Would you agree with that statement?
Definitely. Quit for them. I'll even share a theory that I found in a TEDx show where they were mm-hmm. speaking about the different types of entrepreneurs and managers. Mm-hmm. And what you find is that certain individuals have an inclination to different parts of the business cycle, whether that be the startup stage, group, just maintaining things at a level, management of it, you know, and even the closing down of a business. So you need to understand who you are, where your business is, and what you want to see for your business before deciding who you even put in there to help with the management and growth of that business. So all of these different things tie into it, but yeah, you definitely have to look at how your business not only survives without you, but how it also grows. Because if you're not growing, you're dying.
Absolutely. I like that. I always say it's either you're green and growing or ripe and rottening. It's
very much correct.
You know, we're not human beings, we are human becomings, you know. We're always going into certain directions, either down, up, or side, left or right, you know, we're always moving. Now, okay, so I know you help businesses, but I like to think of you as somebody who helps people more than somebody who helps businesses. Somebody who's looking at this and wants to start a business, but is not sure. What type of person should start a business?
Okay, what type of person should start a business?
Or who should start a business?
Well, there are many different types of people who should start a business, I'll say mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
What I will look at though is who might not want to start a business. I mean, can't really put a character to it because people are so diverse. What I could say is that yes, there are definitely people who should run and start a business, but then for sure, everybody should at least benefit from the mindset of entrepreneurship, even though you may not necessarily start a business, but just having a mindset in your life will have a benefit to you. Because if you look at books like The Lean Entrepreneur, you'll notice mm-hmm. that they have this concept where whilst you can have entrepreneurship, you can have also intrapreneurship, where you're making changes within mm-hmm. the organization that you already live in, work in,
yep.
and you create new things within that organization. We can also say that commerce is an escapable part of life. You are constantly exchanging one thing for another thing. And that's another place where the entrepreneurial mindset comes in, because if you recognize and accept the fact that you're trading, let's say, your time for money, then what would be a better way to increase your income than by increasing mm-hmm. the value of your time? Because you're always exchanging value for value. You know, so I believe that everybody would benefit from an entrepreneurial mindset. Not everybody would or should start up a business, but everybody mm-hmm. definitely should think more like an entrepreneur. And if you are called to start up a business, then you probably will once you started doing that. And if it's not your calling, then you'll still benefit from your life, because there are things that exist nowadays for the average individual to live comfortably, even into their older age. Some people are called to start up businesses. Some people are just called to invest.
Right.
You understand? Some people are called to invest. Mm-hmm. And you need to still understand entrepreneurial concepts if you're investing into any business or any venture, whether it be real estate or whatever you may be doing. So it's nice to imagine that everybody should be an entrepreneur, but the amount of dedication and hard work that you need to actually put in to raise a business up and to make it successful sometimes disqualifies certain individuals from being able to really pursue, or might dissuade them from pursuing that direction. That's how I'll say it.
I really like that perspective. It's a dynamic perspective, you know, because and I agree with that 100%. Because even, I mean, yes, I am a business owner, but the business concepts that I study and I learn about, I have found ways that it could possibly work in an organization like that I'm employed in, because I'm currently employed as well, right? So I'm a business owner, but I also have a day job, and I can see how, you know, these business concepts can be used inside the place that I'm employed. And, you know, obviously that could possibly help my business make more money and therefore, you know, give me more money as well. Not just money, but, you know, help us have a bigger impact as well. So I love that perspective. I didn't even really think about it in that way, but now that you see it, I agree with it. I like that stance a lot.
I'll be honest with you, Quinn. Nowadays, there's something where everybody feels like they need to run into entrepreneurship, or everybody feels like they need to buy a house, or everybody, it's like FOMO, fear of missing out, right? But there are ways and means of getting around these kinds of things. Many people before us have survived without starting businesses, per se. They found ways to create wealth for themselves without starting up a business. And it's still possible today. We just need to be innovative. We need to be willing to think outside of the box. And then we can create our own little paradise. So don't be forced by society to think that you need to do things in the way that they say it should be. Because there's always a specific way for you. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like that a lot, man. That's a beautiful perspective for me. I like that. All right. So I know that also, you know, one of the biggest parts of becoming an entrepreneur, or not just becoming an entrepreneur, but developing the mindset of an entrepreneur, like you said, is developing a sense of financial literacy. Now, I know you're heavy on financial literacy. I know that, you know, even in your day job, you're heavy on financial literacy, and maybe you're even more heavy on it in your consultancy enterprise. Speak to the importance of financial literacy and how can individuals, you know, truly develop a financially literate mindset.
Well, what I can say is that definitely financial literacy is extremely important for us today, irrespective of where you find yourselves. It is extremely important. We live in a world of commerce. We live in a world of exchange. Yeah. And if you don't understand the rules for how money works and how it impacts your life, then you will never really have any money. And whilst money is not everything, it is something that is very important for living life here on this earth, at least until God comes. So I encourage people to read, do courses, get into groups with other people who have similar interests in relation to finance. The resources are all around us, constantly available. We have YouTube. I even heard that some people are doing tips on finance on Instagram. And so there are many places, many sources for information. You definitely want to weigh all of your sources because some of the information may not be 100% correct. We're in the age of fake news. So that's also important.
Right, right.
Maybe have a really good relationship with whoever is your financial provider, whether that be through your insurance company or through the bank that you bank with. Make sure that that individual has the heart of a teacher, somebody that is willing to not only do things for you, but help you understand and explain those concepts to you so that one day you yourself could even be independent. And don't be afraid to explore and try new things. If you, if you take these actions, if you do the research, if you get the books, a couple of books that I could encourage you to look at are Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. The Mountain Is You. Believe it or not, money is very much a personality thing as much as it is an external thing. So you need to understand yourself as well. To The Mountain Is You by Brianna White. Just read about it, get that information, and grow.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to add in to a suggestion of a book. One that I recently completed is The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. I listened to it via audiobook, and it and everything that you said about, you know, money being a personality thing, and you know, people having different perspectives on how they spend their money is so true. In fact, one of the concepts that he brought up in the book is that everybody does crazy things when it comes to money, but nobody is crazy.
True.
Right? People tend to do things that are reasonable instead of rational, right? So it might not necessarily make logical sense in the long term, but in the interim, it makes perfect sense. And that's why people, you know, tend to spend their money that way. So it's important to understand that, yes, you might have made mistakes with money in the past, but there are ways to get around it. And if you understand who you are, you understand your situation, then you understand, you know, how to go about spending your money and what financial literacy looks like for you. So I like that you brought that up. And I agree with that because that's the same thing that I've been reading and listening to. So it's nice to know that, you know, we are on the same wavelength in that regard.
Quinn, I'll tell you something. You just reminded me of another book that I forgot to mention. The Total Money Makeover is the ultimate book in relation to developing financial literacy. And that's by that book is written by Dave Ramsey. I'll tell you honestly, it's the ultimate financial literacy book. It's in a very palatable setup where you can read it, and it's not a difficult book to read, a boring book to read, or even listen to. It's very animated and excited, and it just spits facts, bare facts about money, about finance, about everything in relation to that.
Beautiful. And I know you like Dave Ramsey. In our last episode, in our last conversation, you told us that he's one of your favorite authors. So if you recommend Dave Ramsey, I understand where you're coming from, for sure.
Definitely.
All right, bro. So we're moving on to my favorite segment of the Game Changers podcast. You know already where we're going with this. This is the quick hitters segment of the Game Changers podcast. Rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire.
Some of these questions I might have asked you before, but I know, you know, when you ask people the same question in a different way or at a different time, they might have different answers.
So, can I have an answer?
let's hope so. Let's hope so. Question number one, let's get straight into it. What is the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
Worst piece of advice? Worst piece of advice, boy.
You can't even think.
Boy, that's what I'm realizing there, boy. What's the timer? We count it down, man.
Yes, we count it down.
What's the countdown? Give me the countdown. 15, I'll give it to you now.
15, give me 15 more seconds. 15 more seconds.
Count it down.
15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9,
I have it.
8,
If you don't get into a good school, you're not going to be successful in life.
Wow. That's a lot of bad advice. Eh? That's a big one as well.
A big one. Big doo-doo.
Big one. I like that, you know? And I mean, we don't have the time to go into why that's not true, but that's true. That's very, very, very bad advice.
Very much correct.
Next question. Next rapid fire question. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever received? So we're flipping it.
Okay.
Same 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go.
Okay. An exam does not dictate the rest of your life.
Wow.
I'll give you the back.
Wow, that's very interesting.
I was in secondary school in Form 5, and I was freaking out because they had a course. The year was almost ended. I did nothing with the SBA. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was just scared out of my mind that I would fail CXC and my whole life would go down the drain. And then a teacher come and tell me like, wait, what are you freaking out for? That's just CXC. Just one exam. You can move on from here. It doesn't dictate the rest of your life. It may give a little bit of a pause in terms of what you're trying to achieve, but it does not dictate the rest of your life. And it's a message that I really want to share with as many young people as I can, because it really gave me a lot of relief at the time when I got it. I actually shared it with some students from the Bocage Secondary School recently there. It was quite an experience, I'll tell you that much. But I just want everybody to know that TXC will not dictate the rest of your life if you don't let it.
Thank you. That's great advice. I like that. Eh? And we need to continue to tell our students that, you know, our pupils that, you know, they put so much undue pressure on themselves, and the exams, while they matter, they do not dictate the rest of your life, as you said.
Very much
beautiful.
Correct. Very much correct.
All right, let's move on. Final quick hitter question. Who would you like to see on Game Changers? Now, you gave somebody the last time. I want to hear if you have somebody new first.
So last time I gave you Kazan. He's supposed to be coming on soon. He's the owner of the
REIT. Yep, he should be here.
He's currently working on my website, soon to be launched. So y'all should hear something about that soon on my social media. But then in addition to that, I'd like to call out Kendall. Kendall is a driving instructor, right? But he's recently started a website. He launched it actually last night, and it's called Learner's Tips. Last night, I mean Saturday, the 16th of March. He launched his website, Learner's Tips. It's a website where basically you can get guidance in terms of the in preparation for the theory exam. The course is on there. It teaches you in a very simple, clear manner, all the different points that you need to know, which would be normally you'd get it in like the highway code, but it's all there in a very palatable manner. I think it's an amazing thing, and I really want to see him come up and do a Game Changers interview. So Quinn, I will be sending you his contact too.
Great. Now, Osman, we're moving on to the back end of this interview, a wonderful interview thus far.
Okay.
I want to know if your day job as a financial advisor with Sagicor, or as an agent with Sagicor, informs what you do with this consultancy business. Are there any linkages between the two? And if there are, what are they and how does it connect? How does it correlate?
Well, Quinn, I'll say it like this. When I started this business, it was very difficult to get initial interviews converting into actual sales. And I find that my experience with Sagicor has really blessed my understanding of how to help people, how to help them realize their need, how to encourage them to actually take action. And that's something that has really, it's transferred from my Sagicor business to my consultancy business, and it's been an amazing thing for me. So I'm really happy about that.
Beautiful. short and sweet. So we see that you know, it helps you drive more sales. And now that you have more sales experience, because I know your day job is very sales oriented.
Very much correct.
You know, it helps you drive your sales in other aspects of your life. So that's beautiful, man. I actually really, really like that perspective. Okay, Osman. So we're coming close to the end. Remind people how they can get in contact with you. Somebody who wants that consultancy work, who likes listening to you and who wants your perspective on helping them launch their business. How can they get in contact with you?
Well, as I was saying earlier, my website is soon going to be launched. So that's going to be available on both of my social media handles. That's at Osman Small or at Big Brother.
Okay.
758. So that's where you can reach out to me. You can also go straight to the website itself. It's going to be bigbrotherenterprise.com. And you can also reach me on my phone number, 727-4328. That's the business line for Big Brother. So you can reach me on there or WhatsApp me if you need to. And that's pretty much it for now until I do something else. Oh, you could also reach me on my email. That's 758bigbrother@gmail.com. Until that changes, of course.
All right. Beautiful. And we'll leave this information down below as per usual.
Definitely.
And we hopefully, you know, you can connect with our other game changers who want to really accelerate their business. And that is part of what this platform is for, you know, to connect amazing people with amazing products. And your product is an amazing product. And I know you will be willing to connect with our amazing people. So we're going to have something amazing coming up for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. And also, guys, Quinn's Game Changers is definitely going to also be on my website. I'm going to link to it social media. So this is an important point. If you're doing business, you have friends that are doing business, help out your friends, man. Do what you can. Everybody needs to work together to get to where we're trying to go. So let's work together, man.
Yep, your network is your net worth.
That's right.
We always say that.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right, Osman. Final question.
Let's go.
What is next for Osman Small?
Let's just say expansion. The website is one thing already. So that's definitely one set of work there. Expansion in terms of also employing people down the line to actually help stretch out my ability to reach out to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's mainly just expansion and growth right now. Also, I almost forgot. I'm also planning on doing some events next year.
Okay.
So,
all right.
There should be at the end of the year, I believe it's gonna be a mixer where I'm going to extend the opportunity to some of my clients, my already existing clients, to come in with their businesses. I'm going to be inviting some key individuals from banks, and I'm also going to be inviting some of my investors to be there so that we could have a nice end of year event. Everybody gets to meet each other. You get to pitch your idea to anybody that might be able to reinvest into it. Or if there are any other businesses that might have a similar business to what you have, possible mergers could come as a result of it. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at starting up with some events. I'm also considering the possibility of merchandise, but that's after I get my social media a little bit more active.
Right. Beautiful. So I want a ticket for that event. In fact, we will discuss how I can help contribute to that, because I definitely want to be there. You know, I need to be there. All right.
Definitely.
So let's connect and let's move forward. Right. Osman, as usual, this was an amazing conversation. And to thank you for coming on again. I think this conversation was maybe even more insightful than the first one. And to thank you for coming on, and I trust that you will continue to be successful as we continue to collaborate for the betterment of local business people. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, bro. Thank you for coming on. And guys, remember, stay hungry, and I'll see you next time. As usual, bye-bye. Until then.